Let us open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 44, which is on page 1141 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 11, the verses 1 to 44. This is the Word of God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." And when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Martha came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see the resurrection power of you, our Lord and our God. For we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we have arrived at what I would think is the topical center of the Gospel of John. Where the other Gospels focus on the transfigurations, Jesus shining forth in his glory, John focuses on the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus shining forth in his life-giving power. As you've followed our series in John, you have heard this emphasis of life, life, eternal life. I'm the bread of life. I will give you life. Now, this miracle of Lazarus is only described here in John with a great account. And this is the core of what Jesus wants us to see about Jesus Christ. So why does John spend so much time on this miracle, and why is there such a focus on death and life in this chapter? It's 12 times that the word death is used, and life is coming again and again. It's like this echo that repeats all throughout the chapter. Well, I've asked Bob to put it on the screen behind me, and I think it's for this reason. Jesus wants us to connect the dots in the Gospel of John. If you remember in John 3, in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, Nicodemus received the commandment, right? Jesus gave an imperative statement, "You must be born again." Now, how do you do that? How can you be born again? Nicodemus says, "How can I go back in my mother's womb?" Right? How is it possible to be born a second time or to be born of God? Well, you need to come to life, Nicodemus. You must be born of water and of spirit. You have died like the people in the wilderness when they looked at the serpent. When they were dying, they looked at the serpent and then came to life again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus after he said, "You must be born again." Now we come to the middle of the book where we move from the commandment to the picture. We see that Lazarus is born again. He was born, now he is dead. And now he's being born again. He is raised to life. Now, this is not the spiritual birth, of course, that Jesus is talking about to Nicodemus. We knew it is not that we should die physically and then raised to life physically. But it's the picture of the power of Jesus Christ, that he is the one who should give us new life, new birth. And later on in chapter 20, we see the reality or the way in which this is possible, where we see Jesus is born again or resurrected from the dead. Jesus dies, lies in the tomb, and then is raised to life on the third day. Jesus coming to life in the same way that Nicodemus should die with Christ and be raised to new life. So Lazarus died and by Christ's power rose to life, and we should die to ourselves and rise with Christ to life. And so this commandment in John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, but Nicodemus doesn't understand it. But here we see the way that we must be born again. God himself must give us life in the deadness, not of our physical body, but of our soul, our disconnect from God. We have died to God by our sin, but we must be raised to life. And then in John 3, Jesus refers to Ezekiel 37, right, where he says the wind, the Spirit comes, and as the Spirit comes, the person doesn't know who is raised to life, but by the Spirit, you can't see it, you don't know it, but the wind comes, and it gives life. In the same way, Ezekiel 37, you have this valley of dead dry bones, and then the Spirit of God comes and gives life. And here in John chapter 11, we see the valley of dead dry bones in small in the tomb where Lazarus is dying, and it says he has an odor, right? He is rotting away. His body is disappearing. Only his bones will remain. But Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, and his body is restored. Strength has come again, and he can live again. And so we have come to this picture in John 11, and Lazarus, not a picture of one man, and we should know about that God can raise the dead in some particular way some 2,000 years ago. This picture is about you and me. We are all like Lazarus. We have died in our relationship with God, and we must all be brought to life. When a person says, well, I can't see God, it's true. It's not because you cannot see God's work or God's power, you cannot know God. It's because we have died. And we must come to life. That's why for a Christian, it's like, well, how can you not see God? He is everywhere. I see Him in all through life. I see Him the way He leads me through life. I see Him in creation and the things He puts to my path. He is everywhere. How can you not see Him? Because we're born dead. We're born with the need to come to life. And so it depicts the eternal life as the overcoming of death and as the punishment of sin. And as we will see in John 20, we will see the reason why Jesus can give us new life, the reason why we can overcome death, because Jesus Christ died. He was truly dead. But He overcame death, which is the punishment of sin, so that we might have life. He died, He overcame sin, and He rose from the dead, so that we, being unified with Him, can raise with Him from the dead. And so I want to look this week, I want to look at all 44 verses, but not in detail. I want to give you an overview of why Lazarus' resurrection is so important, and why really in the Gospel of John, Lazarus' resurrection and Jesus coming to the Samaritan woman are the two big stories in the Gospel of John. Everything else is kind of small, or there's talk, but these stories are huge. First, the Samaritan woman who had had many husbands, who was despised by her own people, a people who was despised by the people of God, and Jesus came to save her. That's the first point of John's gospel. Jesus came to die for sinners, the outcast, those who need salvation. And the second point of John's gospel, the second main point, is here in Lazarus' resurrection. Jesus came to raise the dead, those who cannot give life to themselves. Jesus came to give life. And so for the next few weeks, I want to take a careful examination and look at this witness of Jesus' resurrection. But today I want to kind of do an overview and a whole point of what this resurrection is and why it's here. And then in the next few weeks, we'll look at the sections one by one. So I want to look this morning first at the purpose of Lazarus' resurrection, secondly at the power of Lazarus' resurrection, and thirdly at the hope of Lazarus' resurrection. Now first, I want to look with you at the purpose. Why did Lazarus die, and why did he raise from the dead? Jesus tells us very clearly in the purpose of Lazarus' death and resurrection. I want you to open your Bibles to John 11, verse 4. Look with me at verse 4. It says this. When Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, we read a few verses later that Lazarus died, right? So the point here of death is not, it's not for a death that Lazarus will remain death. It's not to shorten his life to this point. But he dies for the specific purpose, so that the Son of God may be glorified through this miracle. In other words, when we understand this miracle, we will see the glory of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 40. John 11, verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" It's like two bookends, right? It's the glory of God. I want you to see the glory of God. And so my prayer is this morning that we will see the glory of God through this resurrection, that we would be amazed and stunned and surprised and in awe of our God. And so the purpose why Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead is for you and I to see the glory of God. So what does it mean that you would see the glory of God? I don't think God is trying to show us and teach us something about His attributes. Like He wants to give us a new quotation verse in a systematic theology book that you would be able to understand that God can give life. As though you would have an abstract idea that because God is divine, He's the ruler of life, and therefore He can give life. Now that's true, and we can learn that from this verse and this chapter, but that's not just the glory of God. I think the purpose was not merely to show God's power, for Mary and Martha already knew that. It was to show, beloved, God's resurrection power to them, to you. This is not for us to know merely that God can raise the dead. This is so that you and I, fill in your name, you and I can know the power of God, see the power of God, and be connected to God in this resurrection power that He raises us from the dead, and that we not just know it, but see it and experiencing it. In other words, the same way that Job said, I had heard of God, but now my eyes have seen. The same way that Peter says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. You see, the glory of God in Scripture is not something that you theoretically know or something that you should have memorized. It's something that you should see and taste and experience. God invites us to see this resurrection power. The glory of God, Jesus wants us to see, is the application of God's resurrection power in your life. That God works His power in your life. So that we would believe that He works this resurrection, life-giving power in us so that we might be able to know Him. And also, as we know Him, that we might be able to last through this life going from strength to strength to strength. Not by our own power, but by His power. Because that's when you will really know the glory of this power. It's not by just knowing it or memorizing it. It's by experiencing it. By experience comes worship. If you see and rely upon the power of God, you begin to taste and see that He can lead you through the hardships of this life. He can lead you out of sin, out of difficulties, but also out of depression, out of struggle, out of hardships, into a walk with Him, and then you'll be able to glorify God. The glory of God in Lazarus is the applied life-giving power of God in your lives and mine. We can only truly give God the glory if we experience this life-giving power. Again and again and again. And so my purpose this morning is not to tell you, well, if you've been born again, that's wonderful. This is past tense for you. You one time knew this. No, my friends. This is going from strength to strength to strength by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so the question is, do you know the power of God? Has He brought you to life? Has He opened your eyes? Has He raised you out of spiritual deadness into spiritual light? But also, the question is, do you know God's power, His resurrection power in your life today? Even though you may have been saved in the past, are you still walking by the power of Christ? I want you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. And this is we're landing in the middle of this prayer. We talked about Ephesians, this passage in the evenings already. But I want you to see what he's praying, what Paul is praying for the church. Not for unbelievers, for the church. I'll fill in a few words to help the sentence. That you may know, that's from verse 18, what is, verse 19, the immeasurable greatness of the power of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, and listen to this, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. See that? Paul, the Apostle Paul, is telling Christians that he is praying, pleading with God, that the church might know his great power, that he is working through us now by the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. So this is not just for those who are without Christ, it's those who are in Christ. You and I need to be stirred up in our faith that the resurrection power of Christ is given us, and that by that power we live in this world. You see that? If you say, I'm so weak, that's right. You got the first point right. The only point that you need to realize now, but he is strong. Oh, I'm so weak in my battle against sin. That's right. So you come to Christ and say, give me your strength to overcome the death of this sin in my life. You see that? I think the reason why so many Christians are struggling and have difficulty growing their spiritual lives is because they try really hard, but with the wrong strength. It doesn't work. Right? I mean, there's people in this building that have skills, practical skills. There's a person here who helped me fix my tire back onto my car, but if he did not have a tool, he would still be trying to get the thing around. He wouldn't be able to get his fingers because he needs the tool to get strength on it. If we used our hands to dig a foundation for a building, we'd be all busy digging to get the foundation maybe for one house per year. It doesn't work. Our own strength is so limited. And sometimes we think, well, I know Christ, I know the gospel, now I just need to really, you know, lift myself up and try to really do it and give myself the strength to do it. No, my friend, you go to Christ and say, help me to understand this resurrection power so that when I see it, I'll be able to live from that life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. So we come to the second, the power of the resurrection. So what is the power of Jesus Christ? John makes it very clear to us. 12 times he describes it as the power that brings death or deadness to life. 12 times he's mentioning the word death in all kinds of ways. Death and deadness, here is the black velvet and upon the power of God, upon which the power of God shines, like a little diamond, right, that sparkles and upon a black velvet. So our death, even in our own lives, don't you experience deadness in your heart many times? That you think you'll be able to at least now be bold in witnessing. And just by the time when the perfect opportunity opens, there's like a deadness in your heart and you just feel cold and out of it and unable. Or when there is a sin and you think you finally overcome it, you're no longer a jealous person, and then somebody comes and the diamond shines in the wrong way, and boom, you're right back to it. Or your anger. You think you finally overcome it. You're a calm, stable person. And then sometimes your wife or your children or your co-worker just pushes it a little bit too far, and you're just exploding inside. And even though you control the external, your internal is just boiling. And you realize it's weakness. It's deadness of the heart. Sin ruling in the body. That doesn't have to be that way. Because the resurrection power of Christ is not something that just raises us up on the last day or just brings us to life. It's the resurrection power that is constantly bringing us to life day by day. As Paul says, I die daily. I take my cross up daily. Why? Because he dies daily. He needs Christ's strength. Daily, I can do all things by what? By him who strengthens me. Same word for power energizes us to give us life in this world. So, there's room for discipline. There's room for important things as filling yourself with the word and prayer. But we must do it by faith. that as we read the Word, we believe the Word, that this power is not in ourselves. It's not for us just to know all the right things. It's for us to then trust what Christ has done so that we might have the power to stand up out of death, that He raises us up out of death and continues to take out the deadness of our life that we might live like Christ. The power of Jesus Christ is the power over death. The power over the deadness of death. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the reason why I pray for some people for years. That I talk to people and there seems to be no entrance into the heart. And my heart is breaking it again and again. And every time I want to give up, I realize Christ gives life. Christ gives life. He raises the dead. It's also the reason why I have hope in my own life when I sin again in the same way. And I've heard my wife or anyone else around me in the same way again. And I'm like, it's just useless. I'm just this way. I don't want it, but it's just this way. And then I remember Christ can overcome the deadness of my heart, the deadness of other people's hearts. He can raise the dead to life. He can. And He loves to do it. I think it's really in our own lives. We only see it when we look back, don't we? When we look back over the years. And I'm sure that many of you have a much bigger reason to stand here and bear witness because you've been walking with Christ much longer. But the little things in my life, in my short Christian life, if I look over the years, the things He has changed in my life. Now, at the same time, I've discovered a lot more things that need a lot of work. But if I look at the things that He has changed me over the years, I couldn't do it. I remember at the beginning of that, I just thought it was my personality, my character. It's just something that belongs to me. And it's just live with it, rest of the world. And then Christ began to point it out and hammer on it and take it away and suck the life out of that sin and kill it. And made me more like Christ. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When He does it, it should give us more hope that He can do it with the other parts in our life as well. Men, there is no reason for you to be overcome by anger. Women, there is no reason for you not to overcome jealousy or pride or even depression and fear. Christ can help you overcome these things. If you set your trust on Him, if you carry your burden to Him and say, "You must help me, because you can, and I cannot." You see, what we normally call death is the end of this life. It's the state when the life is gone from all of us, and all of us that remains is the shell of what we once were. The power of life has gone out and the experience of life has ended. Death in this world is final. It's the end of all duties, privileges, responsibilities, of all words and actions. The person is gone. Death is truly our greatest enemy and mankind's greatest fear. It will come for all of us, no matter how lively we feel today, no matter how strong we might physically be. No matter how healthy we eat, how well we sleep, or how much we keep our body in shape, soon or later, death will come to us all. And I think this is the reason why this story of Lazarus is so fascinating, isn't it? Because what we see here, and why it's so powerful, is we see the only thing that can overcome death and the pain and the sting of death in this life. See, you might be a person who is trembling today with fear for your life. Or you might be a person who is as strong as a rock and thinks, there's nothing going to happen to me. But death might wait in the next hour or two. We don't know. It might be another 60 years. We don't know. But one thing we do know, that we will not live on this earth, in our house, in our current situation forever. And so it is real and it's serious to think about the end of this life, whether it comes soon or later, isn't it? You find often that people that have a lot of money and power, they try to find ways to extend their lives, to see if there is some way that they can take a pill of some nutrition so that they can extend their lives. Scientists are working in every possible way to extend the human life in its strongest form. But it's useless, isn't it? I mean, even if you were to able to lengthen your life for 10 years, what's 10 years? It flies by. And then in the midst of this depressing topic, Jesus stands up and is stronger than death. Jesus brings Lazarus to life. The life-giving power of Jesus Christ enters the body of Lazarus and brings him back into the land of the living. He begins to breathe again. He is opening up his eyes and he can see. He's opening up his ears and he can hear. His mouth opens and he can taste. His fingers and his hands and his arms have strength to push himself up from the ground. His feet become firm. His legs become warm and strong to be able to stand up. And his spine straightens and his organs are working. And he raises up and he stands as a living being. His mind perceives again. He is alive. He walks and he talks. He is alive. He is a living man. The man who was lying dead, cold as a stone, beginning to stink, is now walking out, wrapped in the cloths of death, but alive as can be. You see the power? That's Jesus giving life. That, my dear friend, is the power of resurrection. Jesus is able to give to those who have died life. He has come to give me, to give life, new life to those who have died. Now, dear friends, do you remember Nicodemus? He said, "You must be born again." You are spiritually dead, Nicodemus. You're religious. You have this external cloak of religiosity. You do all these things, but your heart is dead. You cannot see God. You cannot serve God. You cannot love God because your heart is like a stone. It's dead. And everything you try, the opposite comes out. Well, how about you, my friends? Are you different? Or are you like Nicodemus? Have you been born again? Have you come to life? Like Lazarus was dead in the tomb, not knowing God. A tragic situation. The odor of life's sin coming out from his life, his dead body. Well, you say, how should I be born again? How is that possible? How do I know to be born again? Well, Lazarus, it's your answer, my friends. Look at him. This poor man is dead. He cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot perceive, he is not breathing, his heart is not beating because he is dead. And then Jesus stands up, stands at the entrance and says, "Take away the stone. It's time for life to come in. Let me speak to Lazarus." Jesus, you don't understand. He's been dead for 4 days. He has an odor. There's no way reason. It's just a dead body. You might think about your life. It's just, what am I going to do? I'm just a dead body of sin. I've done too much wrong. I've gone too far. And Jesus opens his mouth and says, "Lazarus, come forth." You don't speak to dead people unless you're God. And as Jesus speaks, he gives life out of death. And Lazarus comes to life. It is no longer dead, but alive. He listens to the voice of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ opens his voice, his ears. Listen, dear friends. Jesus wants you to know this morning. He wants you to see the power of the resurrection, the hope of life in Christ. He is calling out to you this morning. You see, many people around Jesus heard his voice. Many people, that's why they wrote it down, "Lazarus, come out." But only one person came out. Only one person was the dead person who was Jesus, who was Jesus raising to life. So we come to our third point, the hope of resurrection. My dear friend, this is the great hope for your life and mine. Jesus is stronger than death. Jesus is stronger than the deadness of your sin. You may have gone as far and deep in sin as you possibly can, or you may have become a very clean person on the outside, but hypocritical on the inside. Jesus is more strong or powerful than sin. He can take the hypocrisy out of your heart. He can take all the sin off your heart. He can wash your body clean, make your heart clean, make your mind clean, regenerate you, give you a life, and make you a happy, walking person, alive with Christ. That's what he does. And that's what he does here, this morning. No matter how much you have sinned, no matter how dead your heart feels, no matter how much you've played the hypocrite, even if you had lied to your own heart and everybody around you for many years, and I'm not sure what is true or false, Lazarus had more things he didn't know than you. He was dead, and he came to life. I want you to see the hope of the resurrection, my friends. Martha believed in the resurrection. She believed that someday, somewhere, Lazarus would be raised to life. And Jesus said, "No, Martha, I am here today. I am here right now in this place to raise the dead." And Jesus is here in this place today to raise the dead, to give life. Beloved, I want you to see what Jesus is pointing out. Martha's theology was correct. Lazarus would have a resurrection one day. But she did not see what was right before her in the here and the now. Jesus had come to her so that she would see his glory, so that she would experience and see it before her eyes. The resurrection gives hope for the here and the now. Jesus Christ is here right now to give strength, to give life. In your life, in your situation, in your struggle, in your hardship, in your pain, he's speaking with his life-giving voice this morning. So, if you don't know him, he says to you now, come to life. Believe in me, for I am the resurrection and the life, and your heart would be filled with life, because I have come down and lived in this world and be hated and despised and hung upon a cross to live your sinful, to take over your sinful life, and to crucify it on the cross, and then to die as you should have died, but then to raise from the death, to live forevermore, so that I can take you with me in eternal life and make you pure and clean. Are you living, beloved, by the resurrection power of God? Jesus Christ is here this morning to raise dead sinners and to strengthen saints that have weakened over the years, to give them fresh, new strength for today's struggles, to turn back the backslider. Are you living by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? Beloved, we must live from that power, because only by his power we can overcome sin and we can live a righteous and a good life, full of joy and with God. Resurrection power so that we can live in the will of God, in the joyful, happy will of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the resurrection power is the power that God works through us to give him glory. Let us be done with living from our own strength and put our trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us get rid of this idea that we do it, that we are making our own Christian life out of our own strength. We need him. And everything you do outside of his strength and outside of his power, you are doing in making dust out of dust. It's useless. Let's fix our eyes upon him, beloved. He is our strength. For Lazarus can testify when he had no strength, no life, but Jesus gave him life. So I pray, my prayer has been this whole week, that you would see the experiencing power, the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. For by faith, we become partakers of the life of Christ. May he add that blessing to all of us. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you as joyful people who are needy in more of your strength, or maybe for the very first time, your resurrection power, because you raised Lazarus from the dead, our Lord Jesus. Give us strength and hope and life and raise the dead. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.